नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनी नामने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशभाग Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, titled Indra Offends Brihaspati, Text 36. Akinchanam hidanam shilochanam Tenehani nivartita sadhu sakriyaha कथं विगर्ह्यं नु करोमि अदीश्वराः पौरुदोषं दृश्यति येन दुर्मतिः अकिञ्चनानां हि धनं शिलोचनम् तेनेह निवर्तित साधु सत्क्रियः कथं विगर्ह्यं नु करोमि अदीश्वराः पौरोदशं हृष्यति येन दुर्मतिः अकिञ्चनानां हि धनं शिलोचनम् तेनेह निवर्तित साधु सत्क्रियः कथं विगर्ह्यं करोमि अदीश्वराः पौरोदशं हृष्यति येन दुर्मतिः
Of persons who have taken to austerities and penances to become detached from worldly possessions, he certainly, dhanam, the wealth, shila, the collecting of grains left in the field, unchanam, and the collecting of grains left in a wholesale marketplace. Tena, by that means, iha, here, nivars, nirvarittita, accomplishing, sadhu, of the exalted devotees, Sakriyaha, all the pious activities. Katam, how? Vigarhyam, reproachable. No, indeed. Karomi, I shall execute. Adishwara, O great governors of the planetary systems, Paurodasam, the duty of priesthood, Trishyati, is pleased, Ena, by which, Durmatihi, one who is less intelligent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. O exalted governors of various planets, the true Brahmana, who has no material possessions, maintains himself by the profession of accepting Shilomchana. In other words, he picks up grains left in the field and on the ground in the wholesale marketplace. By this means, householder Brahmanas who actually abide by the principles of austerities and penance, maintain themselves and their families, and perform all necessary pious activities. A Brahmana who desires to achieve happiness by gaining wealth through professional priesthood must certainly have a very low mind. How shall I accept such priesthood? Purport. The first class Brahmana does not accept any rewards from his disciples or yajamanas. Practicing austerities and penances, he instead goes to the agricultural field and collects food grains left by the agriculturists to be collected by the Brahmanas. Similarly, such Brahmanas go to the marketplaces where grains are purchased and sold wholesale, and there they collect grains left by the merchants. In this way, such exalted Brahmanas maintain their bodies and families. Such priests never demand anything from their disciples to live in opulence, imitating Kshatriyas or Vaishyas. In other words, a pure Brahmana voluntarily accepts a life of poverty and lives in complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. Not very many years ago, a Brahmana in Krishnanagara near Navadvipa was offered some help from the local zamindar, Rajat Krishna Chandra. The Brahmana refused to accept the help. He said that since he was very happy in his householder life, taking rice given by his disciples and cooking vegetables of tamarind leaves, there was no question of taking help from the zamindar. The conclusion is that although a Brahmana may receive much opulence from his disciples, he should not utilize the rewards of his priesthood for his personal benefit. He must use them for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I forgot to chant the mantras in the beginning. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भगवती नैष्ठिकी चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्म तदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सञ्जीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते सप्तकांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय अहंचाकतरूप्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
austerity of the body consists in the worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. Deva Dvija Guru Rajnya Pujanam Shaucham Ajavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapachate. As we know, this chapter is titled as Indra offends Brihaspati. This offense is due to when he laments, he gives the reasons due to false ego, due to his being intoxicated by the power, the position, the wealth he has, the followers. The austerity of standing up and paying respects to his spiritual master, he forgot to do at the appropriate time. So when we see the spiritual master at a distance, whether he sees us or not, we have to pay obeisances. When he comes closer to you and then there is an eye contact, you again pay obeisances. It's not that, oh, I have already paid obeisances, I don't have to pay obeisances. No. So you again pay obeisances. Then there is a reciprocation, then the spiritual master blesses. Then when you stand up, you accept that blessing. It's not that you just run away for some other thing. The way we can see that practically in application of that is when we pay respects to Srila Prabhupada's Murti, after paying respects, we again look up to him and to accept that sometimes I myself, a lot of time I've done as mechanically come, bow down, then go, then go. So it's in one way not very personal, because you're bowing down and there's a reciprocation. So then you accept that blessing, there is a moment of a contact. Imagine if Lord Indra had done this paying of obeisances, welcoming his guru, giving him a proper asana, glorifying him, then the whole scene would be different. He wouldn't have to go through all of this. He's anyway, now he's going to another priest. So is Vishwarupa the priest of the demons? Vishwarupa? No, he's just a general priest. Yeah, it's a general priest. So he is going to a priest. Anyway, he has to address him properly. Not only him, the entire, all the demigods. What's surprising for me is that at least the other demigods could have taken the lead and given respects to Brihaspati and alerting his superior that, hey look, you're doing something wrong, you have to. So sometimes it happens that the subordinates may come and tell a breach of etiquette when the superior is forgetting to offer respects to his superior. So that could have happened, or I don't know, in this pastime was Indra's wife next to him? Do you know? Not sure. If she was next to him, at least she could have indicated him, hey, spiritual master has come, it's time to pay obeisances. These two instances we can see that Bali Maharaj's wife will give feedback to him in public as to how you think you are a king and you think you can offer all your kingdom and all the, you have got a lot of opulence, you think that is yours and you are thinking that you can donate the land to Vamadeva. So you see that correction is happening from the level of the spouse. So we can see that if the etiquette is not followed, it's not that the wife always has to accept the husband as a guru. If the husband is going off track, then the correction will be made, considering a higher principle that a spiritual master has come, then he has to be respected. If you're failing to do it at the appropriate time, then you face repercussions. So seeing this, the life could have corrected. The example of how the subordinates find out a breach of conduct was when Lord Brahma gets bewildered and he runs after Vak, his own creation, almost like the level of a daughter, and he gets an indication by his own sons saying that, "Father, this is not correct." So the mentality has to be given up. So these things could have happened, at least if some of them in the assembly, the other demigods, they see that Brihaspati is coming, then they could have alerted him, and then Indra could have come to his senses and the whole thing could be avoided, because they are anyway spending time here. Your time, energy, you are anyway spending. That moment when he comes, when the spiritual master is coming at the appropriate time, you offer obeisances. It's all done. If it's not done, these are the consequences. It's just a matter of austerity of the body. Worshipping spiritual master is one of the items that Deva Dvija Guru Prajna. They are worship of personalities. So, because it has not happened, now, having come to their senses, the demigods are approaching another priest, another brahmana who is hesitant to accept the priesthood. That is Vishwarupa. So the previous verse, verse 35, Vishwarupa says that acceptance of priesthood is decried as causing the loss of previously acquired brahmanical power. How can someone like me refuse to accept your personal request? You are all exalted commanders of the entire universe. I am your disciple and must take many lessons from you. Therefore, I cannot refuse you. I must agree for my own benefit. Here you see the clash between, there is a clash between the duty, the call for the duty, and then the consequences that is going to come by doing that activity. So here Vishwarupa, he's considering the pros and cons, the cause and the effect of doing a particular activity. It is, he's in a tight situation where the superiors are asking him to do an activity which might affect his, he may lose his brahmanical power, and then he is giving reasons. He is analyzing, okay, this, if a brahmana accepts a priesthood just to maintain his body, he will lose his brahmanical power. Then he is saying the other side, you are all superiors to me, you are asking me to do this, I cannot disobey your order. The earlier verses, the demigods also say that you are exalted in knowledge. Even though younger in age, you can act as our priest. And we may have to pay respects to you by bowing down and all. Don't hesitate to accept that respect. It is valid because you have Vedic knowledge. So the demigods are willing to bow down to him because they have learned the lesson earlier. Just by bowing, not bowing down to their spiritual master, the whole consequence is there. Now they are more alert. Now, Vishwarupa is not immediately carried away by the offer. He is looking at the situation from the both the sides. So, from this we can learn that a particular service is given. I heard this example. The devotee was quoting His Holiness Bhaktirasananda Swami. The situation is that outside it's raining heavily. Okay,
your authority is asking you to go to the shop and buy an item for the boga offering or something immediately that's required. Now, you have different options. One thing is, it's raining outside. I can't go because I'll get wet, I'll become sick. The other option is the other end, immediately going. Go, get drenched, buy the boga, come back drenched, and later fall sick and out of service for a few weeks. That's an option. What could be the other option? If it's raining and you're asked to do the service and it's urgent, what would you do? Take an umbrella? Okay. What else? What other options? You wear a jacket. So what you do is you're protecting yourself and getting the service done. You may get drenched. You can't avoid it. It's a heavy rain. But you protect yourself. Right? So here we see the pressure of doing the service on the behalf of the demigods who are exalted in position. He would outright say, hey look, I don't want to get into all this priestly food. It's gonna I'm taking wealth and respect and all of that, and if I don't properly handle it, then it's going to cause problems, so sorry. The other option is he is looking at the pros and cons of both, and he's going to be making a decision. I don't know how the pastime unfolds. Does he take up the priesthood? And yeah, he does. Okay. Is that when he offers some oblations to demons also, and in the Indra kills him? Is it good? So he is considering the pros and cons, and he is evaluating what is the risk involved. Another example that came to my mind of those services given by a superior, and one set of personalities, they knew the pros and cons of it, and they said, we can't do it. Sorry. Who are those four personalities?
Four Kumaras.
What is the service given to them? Was to create Prajna. Kumara said, sorry father, can't do it. So that is one instance where you are asked to get married, create children. I've heard, but I can present in the assembly, somebody can tell us. That's one instruction which the spiritual master gives. A disciple can choose not to agree and then still not get effect. Is that? So that's an option where they consider the pros and cons, and then they tell Brahma that we can't do it, we don't want to get entangled, and they don't take up the service. So in that way, that is one instruction I've heard that the disciple can choose not to accept and still not get any reaction. In the purport, Prabhupada is talking about the qualities of, and in the translation, the quality of a true Brahman who has no material possession. So that's how the verse begins with akinchana, a person who have taken the austerities and penances. Why do they do it? To become detached from worldly possessions. And why do we have to become detached from worldly possessions? So that you can devote your energy through your body, mind and words towards the Supreme Lord. So if your body, mind and word, all the energy is focused on
your attachments to matter, then you will not have time, energy with your body, mind and words to spend in spiritual progress. Because it's already occupied. You have a certain amount of time, certain amount of energy, and you have to engage your body, mind and words. If it is fully occupied, if your attachment is towards matter, then you can't have attachment towards the Lord. So therefore, the idea of, or the principle of detachment from worldly possessions is there. Then the principle of doing austerities and penances, so that you become detached from worldly possessions. So what is austerity that the Brahmanas have to do is to live a simple life. Just be satisfied with whatever comes on its own accord. Forgot the verse exactly. But Krishna himself will say that don't worry about your maintenance, but just be satisfied with whatever comes on its own accord. And in the austerity of mind, Lord Krishna will tell about Manaprasada Samyatvam Maunam Atma Vinigraha Bhava Samsukti Vidyeda Tapo Manasam Uchate. Satisfaction, that's how you begin. Manaprasada Samyatvam, satisfaction of the mind. Just being satisfied with whatever comes on its own accord. So here we see the practical application of that for the Brahmanas is that they collect grains left by agriculturists and they go to the marketplace where the grains are being sold, and there they collect whatever is there and then they live by that. Not only him, his entire family lives like that. In this way of performing austerity and being detached, the key point, another key point that's coming up is the Brahmanas are not imitating Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. Oh, they are having so much wealth, they are having opulence, they are having so many followers, Dhanam, Janam, Sundarim, they are having all of that. We don't have, so we should also become like them. What is the wealth that the Brahmanas have is, as Prabhupada describes in the first canto, 8th chapter, titled Prayers of Queen Kunti, he talks about what does the Brahmanas, the saintly people, the Goswamis, what do they have which others don't have? This famous verse, Namo kinchana vittaya navritta guna vrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya patage namaha. This verse is a set of prayers Mother Kunti offers to the Lord. The previous verse he talks about how the Lord cannot be approached by those who are trying to improve themselves by respectful parentage, great opulence, high education and bodily beauty. There she will say, Tvam akinchana gocharam. And then in this verse, verse 27, who are the property of the materially impoverished. Akinchana vittaya, unto the property of the materially impoverished. So, the sadhus, brahmanas, mahatmas, as Prabhupada describes, the Goswamis, they have the wealth of the love of God. And therefore, the satisfaction comes from possessing that. And if you are satisfied, you are engaged in the Lord's service. And you are able to endure the austerity and the penances by experience of that higher taste. You are able to devote your body, mind and words in developing your attachment towards the Lord. And that's why in this purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the tells the story of a poor man who went to Srila Sanatana Goswami. I remember if Lord Shiva inspires this person to go to Sanatana Goswami and ask Sanatana Goswami for a touchstone. So this poor man will go to Sanatana Goswami, say, look, I'm suffering, I'm very poor, and Lord Shiva told me that you have a touchstone by which I can acquire things which I like and then become rich and prosperous. So can you please give me that? Sanatana Goswami tells that, oh, okay, it's a good there in the dustbin. You can dig through the dustbin, take it, and then yeah, there you go. Enjoy your life. So so Prabhupada writes, he had a touchstone, the Sanatana Goswami, and this stone was left in a pile of refuse. A needy man took it. But later wondered why the valuable stone was kept in such a neglected place. Why would Sanatana Goswami keep this valuable touchstone in a pile of refuse? Which means he has something much valuable than this, which makes him think that this touchstone is a pile of refuse, is as good as the garbage. So then Prabhupada writes, he therefore asked Sanatana for the most valuable thing, and then he was given the holy name of the Lord. So Prabhupada writes, what does akinchana mean? Akinchana means one who has nothing to give materially. A factual devotee or Mahatma does not give anything material to anyone because he has already left all material assets. He can, however, deliver the supreme asset, namely the personality of Godhead, because he is the only property of a factual devotee. Krishna se kumara Krishna ye. So, Lord Krishna is your property, and if you want, you can give him to me. Here we can also see that if the spiritual master accepts material things from the disciple without elevating him spiritually, with the material motive of maintaining his body and not giving anything spiritual valuable to them, then at that time the spiritual master gets bombed. In the Nectar of Devotion, where the theme of not accepting many disciples, in that section Prabhupada will write, and Acharya will also describe, how one should not be eager to accept too many disciples. The risk is that you are overwhelmed by the dakshana, the remuneration that you get from them. If you're attached to using that, maintaining yourself, and not giving anything of spiritual value to the disciple, at that time you are getting bombed. So the theme of living comfortable in a well-built temple that we discussed. So that is attachment to the mode of goodness. It's very subtle in the sense that you are reciting Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, you have deities. All that you're doing to get wealth and to live in a very sattvic environment. This is the highest kind of sense gratification. And if you're doing that, then you get bombed. On the other hand, then Prabhupada will also bring out this point about how Mahaprabhu says that you should accept disciples. Then how do we resolve this contradiction. So in that section, Prabhupada will quote about how the Goswamis, even though they gave up all their high-paid job, Tyaktva Purna Mashesha Mandalapati, they gave up all of that high-paid profession under the Muslim ruler, but they took up Lokanam Hitakarinam Tribhuvane. So they took up the higher spiritual profession, we can say, of delivering the fallen souls. And in that mood, if a wealthy person comes with money to build a temple for the Lord, the same Goswami engaged such a person to build a very good temple for the Lord. In that sense, they are not blindly renouncing wealth in itself. Will not bind you. It depends how you use it. If you are using wealth under the guidance of a spiritual master who is not materially motivated, who is engaging you in the Lord's service, then that same wealth, because it's used in the Lord's service, because one of the angas of bhakti is where you worship the Lord with possessions or materials which are opulent, like that of a king. So there Prabhupada writes that a person who is working outside, earning money, can spend his wealth in this proper way, offering articles which are of very high value and worshipping the Lord. I forgot the exact term. So here we see the same Goswami rejecting the touchstone, but when a wealthy person comes to build temple for the Lord, he uses that wealth. And how do we apply within ISKCON is that Prabhupada writes, for preaching purposes we accept the wealth. And reporters asked, why are you coming in such a big, why do you accept so much opulence? You are meant to be a mendicant. Like if Bhaktivedanta Swami is supposed to sit under a tree and give a discourse, you will never come. For to attract the public to the Lord, to create a place where people can come, and most importantly, spiritual discourses are happening. That's why opulent temples, along with spiritual discourses, for that purpose, temples are built. So Prabhupada will write, preaching must go on. So then that becomes a proper utility of wealth. And because it is used in the Lord's service, you accept and engage in Lord's service and you don't get bound. And this type of renunciation is described by the Goswami, by Rupa Goswami, as Yukta Vairat. Anashaktasya Vichaya Vitaram Upayunjata Nirbanda Krishna Samande Yuktam Vairatyam Chate. Your asakti is not towards the wealth. Your anasaktasya vishaya, to the material objects, but your asakti is towards the Lord. Your attachment, asakti is all towards the Lord. And you are using this without being attached to that. It's a very high concept. We may think that, oh, I'll use the car in the Lord's service. I'll use my phone in Krishna's service. I'll use my whatever assets I have. Oh, the key thing to note is, am I attached to it? And I'm still using it? Okay, then that becomes, it will fall under Sakama, Nishkama, like it's not like Yukta Vairag. Many times we say that, oh, I'm using it in Krishna's service, so therefore it's Yukta Vairag. It could be, but one has to see, check the consciousness, whether am I completely detached from this? Anashaktasya Vishaya Yatagram Upayunjata. Seeing the utility, being detached and engaging it only in the Lord's service. Then it becomes Yukta Vairag. If a person is having that mentality and engaging wealth and all of that, then all of that can be engaged in the Lord's service. Otherwise, if you are attached to the work and the results, then you are at the level of Sakama. If you are attached to the work and you are becoming detached from the results, then you become, you go into Nishkam Karma Yoga. You are doing your activities based on your varna and ashrama. So these varna and ashrama is determined by what? Determined by your guna and karma. Whose guna and karma is yours? Based on your impression that you have got in the previous lives. So you are starting from yourself and connecting it back to the Lord. Then that is all these categories will come, sakama, nishkama. But if you are starting from the Lord and working backwards, then you are moving into the realm of mixed and pure devotion. If there is no other motivation other than to please the Lord, then that becomes pure devotion. And that's how it is described as Atmanivedana, where you engage, you give your body, mind, words, everything to the Lord with this attitude. So thus we saw that we are performing austerities with the idea of not only becoming detached from matter but also attach ourselves to the Lord. That's how Mother Kunti will say that cut my attachment towards Dridham Pandishu, Vrishnishu. Then the next verse she will say, Dvayime Ananya Vishaya Matir Madhupatesha Kruti. That my attention, my attachment all flow towards you. So mere detachment alone is not sufficient. One has to then attach oneself to Krishna. Rati mukva hada datta gange vokam utanmati. So that Rati, I am severing my connections with the family. I am becoming detached from people, from matter, from wealth, all of that with the purpose of attaching myself to the Lord. Then we also saw the austerity of the body and the mind. Then we saw the way a Brahmana should live, how Vishwarupa is considering the pros and cons before doing a particular seva. And we saw how accepting of disciples, when it's appropriate and when it is not appropriate. So I'll conclude there and see if there are any questions on what we discussed. No? Okay. There are no questions. We'll conclude here. Grantharasana Bhagavatam ki jaya, Prabhupada ki jaya.